And for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a holy, solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride leave her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land, and he had pity on his people. The Lord answered, and he said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this evening is Psalm 51, and we will read it responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
And cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions.
And my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight.
So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity.
And in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being.
And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness.
Let the bones that you have broken rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
And uphold me with a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways.
And sinners will return to you.
Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation.
And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth shall declare your praise.
For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it.
You will not be pleased with a burnt offering.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Do good to Zion in your good pleasure.
Build up the walls of Jerusalem.
Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and in whole burnt offerings.
Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Our second lesson, the epistle, New Testament lesson, is 2 Corinthians. Readings from both chapter 5 and 6. We'll begin at chapter 5, verse 20. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and by the power of God, and with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and not yet killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise. There is a Lenten sentence which this would be new if we sung it, so we'll read this together. We'll return to the Lord, for our Lord is near, and leave our sinful way. We'll return to the Lord while the chance is here to bow our hearts and pray. O Lord, merciful God, hear us, humbly obey. We'll return to the Lord while the Lord is near, and leave our sinful, sinful way, and leave our sinful way. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord.
To all Christ.
Please be seated. Skies, scarce we lift
Tonight we commemorate Ash Wednesday a day early, but it's all the same meaning. And it puts us face to face with our own sin and the reality of sin, our sin and the sin in the world today. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word all, that means all, every one of us, even pastors like me. Just ask my wife. That's probably the truest test. Debbie knows how much I fall short of the glory of God. Won't give you particulars on that. I remember preaching a sermon at a gospel service titled John Sathry, a Sinner. Pretty good title, huh? It was a takeoff from the AA testimony where you admit that you're an alcoholic. John Sathry, a Sinner. I admitted that I was baptized, raised in a pastor's home, and went to a Christian college, but the problem of sin still remained in my life, the need for the repentance and the need for Jesus in my life. So after the service, I received a rebuke from one of the congregants. How can this possibly be? We're no longer sinners as Christians. Some confusion here and misinterpretation of Scripture, I think. An internship, I shared with a confirmation class that I was a sinner. And you should have seen the eyes of those confirmands. They couldn't believe it. A pastor? A sinner? We're all sinful and unclean and need to come clean before God through repentance and faith. But I'm certainly not proud of my sinful nature and the acts of sin that I commit. And I recognize the seriousness of sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. You got it. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Pursuit of Holiness, says, our sin grieves the very heart of God. You see, God the Father cannot look upon sin because he is holy. And that's one interpretation of Jesus on the cross saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father turned his back on this heinous, repugnant human form on the cross who bore all the sins of the world in that moment. Sin is serious, and it separates us from God. And the call tonight is to recognize our own part in putting Jesus on the cross, taking on our sins and paying the penalty that we deserve, thus giving us life eternal. So there's four ways that the Bible describes sin. The first one is missing the mark. You know, the bow and arrow and towards the target. And we never get the bullseye right, do we? On these ear-hearing things. But yeah, that's missing the mark. We miss the mark in God's perfect plan. The second way that the Bible describes sin is trespass. It means to walk in forbidden places. How easy to push the button on our computers and instantly have access to pornographic material. Thirdly, the next word is transgress. It means to go beyond that specified limit and to cross over the line. It describes a deliberate breaking of God's law. And finally, the New Testament word lawlessness indicates a contempt for God's law. It incorporates ideas of revolt, rebellion, and defiance of God. For instance, I don't care what God says about keeping the marriage bed undefiled. I'm going to have this affair. Or we're going to live together before getting married. I don't care what the Bible says. Lawlessness. So this Ash Wednesday is a time to recognize not only the penalty for sin, but how slippery it is. We're good at cover-up, aren't we? But we know all too well that our sin will find us out. I attended a private English school, and my dad was stationed at Manston Air Force Base as an Air Force chaplain. And it was a small school that had very few boys. And we wore these school uniforms with a school crest, complete with wool pants and blazer. One rule was you couldn't put your hands in your pockets. And Americans are good at, you know, just walking around putting your hands in your pocket or leaning against the wall. You know, had certain rules in this private English school. My homeroom teacher was Miss Thompson. She was huge, and she was mean. There were no sports in this school, only dancing. I hated dancing. I had to pick, always had to pick up partners. Ooh, girls! One dance class, I refused to pick a partner, which didn't please my instructor very much. So she sent me to my homeroom to Miss Thompson. I slowly climbed the stairs and came to the room. The door was cracked open slightly, and there she was, Miss Thompson, sitting on her throne in all her glory, sternly reading a book. No, I couldn't go in there. I'll go down to the first grade room. The teacher there is much prettier and friendlier. I'll go down there. So I told the first grade teacher that my dance teacher said I needed to stay in her class for an hour. And she said, okay, fine. And well, I felt pretty proud of myself. I covered things up pretty nicely. I didn't have to face the wrath of Miss Thompson. Well, as you can imagine, my sins found me out. My parents were notified by the principal that they were to come in with me and to her office. And so we had the rendezvous in the principal's office. Ever been there? Wishing your cover-up scheme would have worked? Your sins will find you out. We all wear a mask, don't we? We try to cover up our sin and make like we're squeaky clean. But tonight is not that kind of a night. God calls us to come clean and take off our mask of hypocrisy, admitting our sin before God. That's what hypocrisy means. The word hypocrite comes from the ancient days in the theater where actors wore different masks, depending on the character that they were portraying. Jesus is saying, take off your mask. Don't try to be a pretender about your Christian life. Tonight's lesson from Matthew, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others or to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it to your with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by them. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then it goes on to say, Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It is clear that Jesus doesn't like phonies. And the question is, who does? Admit it, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. 1 John 1:9 says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. But if you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You've heard the word Chuck Colson. One of Richard Nixon's henchmen was convicted of cover-up and sent to prison. And he was later converted to Christianity and later headed up Prison Ministry Fellowship. He said, having been in the center of the biggest political upheaval of this century, I've had my sins, real or imagined, spread mercilessly across the front pages around the world, reenacted in living color on movie and TV screens, and dissected in hundreds of books. As a result, I'm often asked which of my Watergate perfidies causes me the greatest remorse. My invariable reply, none. My deepest remorse is for the hidden sins of my heart, which are far worse, and that either puzzles or infuriates the media. And as I lay in prison and watch the events of my own life parade before my eyes, I became aware of this painful reality of the human heart and saw myself. I was a sinner, and my sin manifested itself in individual acts of my own making. And worst of all, I had delighted in it. We had a Bishop Jensen visit us Lutheran chaplains in Germany, and he said, the reason that we sin is because we like it so much. Is it possible that we actually delight in sin and evil? I mean, what explains our secret delight in another's fall, another's failure? What else accounts for our morbid fascination with violence on TV and the sexuality that's only a click away on our phones or computers? It's time to come clean before a holy God, a holy God who wants honest confessions. We cry out, Abba, Father, I've confessed that I've been sinful and unclean. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and I've sinned against my neighbor. And for this, I am heartily sorry and ask for your forgiveness. You know the story of King David. He had a huge wake-up call in one of the most powerful stories of sin and confession in all of Scripture. The story of King David gives us all hope, for he was one who had a heart for God, heart after God. And yet he stumbled in sin in a big way. David was strong in battle, but he was weak at home. We all know the story in 2 Samuel, where David is in his palace as his troops were fighting the Ammonites. And right away, something is wrong here, because a king should be leading in battle. And here he is propping up his feet back at home. Having too much time in his hands, he observes a beautiful woman from his rooftop, and she was bathing. And so he asked her to be brought to him, and he laid with her, and she became pregnant. Now what to do? A big cover-up attempt. That's what David was up to. So he called her husband, Uriah the Hittite, back from the battlefield and tried to talk him to spending time with his wife to make it look like the pregnancy came from him. But he wouldn't do it because he was a soldier, and a soldier's not supposed to have sexual relations with his wife during a holy war. This man is honorable. The king is anything but. David then tried to get him drunk, and he still laid on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. He was a faithful and loyal soldier of the finest character. So David sent Uriah back into action on the front lines of battle and ordered the general Joab to pull back his troops, leaving Uriah vulnerable. And that's where he died. After Bathsheba was finished mourning over his death, David brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The prophet Nathan gives it a little bit of time. He doesn't jump in right away. Let it stew for a little while. You can imagine the risk of confronting the king with such a heinous crime of murder and adultery. It could cost him his head. But Nathan was sent by the Lord to David and tells him a story about a rich man who takes a poor man's ewe lamb to feed a guest when it was the poor man's only lamb. This angers David. Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Normally, adultery would bring the penalty of stoning, but Nathan told David that he would not be killed, but that he would lose Bathsheba's son. David was so convicted by his sin, and so David drew closer, asking for forgiveness. And that's why it's so special to do Psalm 51 at a service like this, Ash Wednesday Eve, which Lee read and we responded, because it bears another look at the heart of this sinner asking for forgiveness. He was exposed, and he said, "My sin is ever before me." And then he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And when convicted, David's heart broke. He admitted he was wrong and wanted more than anything else to restore his relationship with the Lord. "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me." So as we approach God's throne of grace tonight, we know that ultimately it is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. As we hear his word, we know the heart of God and his sorrow over our sin. God's desire is not to leave us in our sin. And he pursues us as the jealous lover, jealous of all the other gods who try to take his place in our lives. And so he sends the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. St. Paul says, "Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation," 2 Corinthians 7:10. Oswald Chambers says, "Conviction of sin is one of the most uncommon things that ever happens to a person. It is the beginning of an understanding of God. Jesus Christ said that when the Holy Spirit came, he would convict people of sin. And when the Holy Spirit stirs a person's conscience and brings him into the presence of God, it is not that person's relationship with others that bothers him, but his relationship with God. As King David admitted, 'Against you, you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight.'" The wonders of conviction of sin, forgiveness, and holiness are so interwoven that it's only the forgiven person who is truly holy. And he goes on to say, "The entrance into the kingdom of God is through this sharp, sudden pain of repentance colliding with man's respectable goodness," as if we are good. Then the Holy Spirit, who produces these struggles, begins the formation of the Son of God in the person's life. That's a lot of stuff. But a year ago, we were confronted by the series Return of the Prodigal. Remember that series? We were invited to see how we are, like the youngest son, have rejected the father's love and gone astray. We were invited to see ourselves possibly as the elder son or daughter, faithful to his father and staying home, but resentful of the younger son and bitter towards the lavish celebration his father gave to him. Ultimately, we were to see ourselves in the role of the loving father, welcoming home those prodigal sons and daughters into the celebration of love and forgiveness. But this is our good Heavenly Father tonight, who welcomes us home with all humility, when we come with all humility, confessing how far we've strayed from his love and accepting his warm embrace of forgiveness. May it happen tonight and throughout our Christian lives. Amen. We have a litany of repentance, and after that, we'll have the imposition of ashes. And I think you're familiar with that. Many of you have gone through that. You'll hear the words, "Remember that you're dust, and to dust you shall return." The penalty of sin is death, and we recognize that. But the assurance of everlasting life is through Jesus Christ. So we're going to say this litany of repentance on page 9 in your bulletin on the screen. "We've not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not loved others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, Lord. We've been deaf to your call to serve as Christ serves us. We've not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives. We confess our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to commend the faith that is in us.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
Accept our repentance, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
For the waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us.
Accept our repentance, Lord.
Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us.
Favorably hear us,
for your mercy is great. Accomplish in us the work of your salvation,
that we may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, O Lord, bring us with all your saints to the joy of his resurrection. And now I invite you to come forward to the altar, truly repentant of sins and receiving the ashes for this Ash Wednesday evening. Come, for all is ready. Jenna, remember that you're dust, and to dust you shall return. Nora, remember. Dust you shall return. This time we'll have our prayers of the church.
And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father God, we pray that you enrich our faith through repentance and the imposition of ashes as we confess our sins and reflect on our mortality. We pray that you would allow us to prepare our hearts to receive the good news of forgiveness in Christ, and that you would empower us to share your light in this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, help us to love our Heavenly Father with our whole heart. We desire to put God first, but you know the distractions that we let get in our way. Keep us daily in holy faith and steadfast love until you call us home to have eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Wise counselor and Heavenly Father, keep us abiding in your Holy Spirit so that we do not fall prey to following our faulty instincts in matters of this world. We pray for leaders throughout this world who follow their own desires. May they see Christ as a wise counselor of truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And gracious God, we pray to all those who have fallen ill in body, mind, or spirit. May they feel your constant presence beside them, your gentle spirit within them, and know that they are not alone. And now we remember those close to us as we name them silently in our hearts or aloud.
Debbie.
Lord, let us be your church that is a safe haven for anyone seeking guidance, love, and understanding. And we implore your blessing for safe travel and continued evangelism for all of those participating in the mission trip in Wynn, Arkansas from Emmanuel, and for a safe journey and return home this week for Larry and Deb and Joe Vomhoff and Cindy Lund, that you would guide them and bring them safely here. And Lord God, we rejoice and are so grateful for the medical miracle that you have worked in your servant, Daryl Bothan. He's now enjoying home and recuperation, and we pray that you restore him to your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like you to stand as we continue with the preface, preparing for Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. You call your people to repent of sin and prepare for the joy of the Paschal Feast. Renew us in faith and holiness and bring us into the fullness of your grace and truth that belongs to the children of God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, and we'll say these words, Holy, holy, holy God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Please join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
On the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and gave thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." You may be seated as we say the words, Lamb of God, Agnus Dei. Lamb of God, you take the sins of the world. Lamb of God, your mercies never cease. Lamb of God, you take the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, you give us peace. Come, for all is ready. We do have gluten-free bread for those who prefer that. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you, hope. Nora, the body of Christ given for you. Scarlett, the body of Christ given for you. Matt, the body of Christ given for you. Judy, the body of Christ given for you. Julie, the body of Christ given for you. Carl, the body of Christ given for you. Debbie, the body of Christ given for you. Gary, the body of Christ given for you. Jean, the body of Christ given for you. Sammy, the body of Christ given for you. Arnie, the body of Christ given for you. Alan, the body of Christ given for you. Judy, the body of Christ given for you. Lisa, the body of Christ given for you. Mark, the body of Christ given for you. Given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Mary Jo, the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, Dan. Judy, the body of Christ given. Given for you. Fred, the body of Christ given for you. Nick, the body of Christ given for you. Don, the body of Christ given for you. Thank you. bleed, take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Congregation, please stand. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ in his precious blood strengthen and preserve you in true faith to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let's say the Nunc Dimittis together. Now release. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this your salutary gift, and we ask you in your mercy to strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance before you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We'll sing In the Cross of Christ at Glory. You to leave in silence to contemplate